Sasem is at the end of the parsha, beginning of next week's parsha. He tells on the Vav. At the beginning of it says, Vayakel, there's a Vav. And Moshe Rabbeinu is Makil, the Kehilas. What's the Vav? What's the hamshach between the end of the parsha over here and the next parsha? So he says, the last parsha of this week's parsha, is Moshe Rabbeinu has a masveh. Moshe Rabbeinu takes the kedusha which he hears, and he covers it. He's master it. There's an element of hastara. So Moshe, that is the koyach, which then allows us to go into Vayakel. And Moshe Rabbeinu is able to bring the kehilas together, and give them the mitzvah of Shabbos. So this nakuda of the koyach of being master allows us to move weiter after the Chet HaEgel, the koyach which is going to be used as the koyach of Hastorah. He touches on it in a different place. Rashi says that by the Luchos Shniyos, that Moshe Rabbeinu goes up quietly. Rashi says that the Bereshit tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Enlecha yofa min hatznius," that it's the best way to do it is with tznius. So if that's true, the enlecha yofa min hatznius, so why weren't the Luchos Rishonos done with tznius? So if ain't lachal yafa min atzniyus, so no, right? The Rishon is because they're bekalik karlus. Therefore, the koyach of the ayin hara, the yetzahara was shalat to them, and luchishniyus are better this way. So what was the Rosh Hashanah? Like what was the mikar makas over hashem makas over? One point. Second point is why Taka does this koyach of Hastora express itself, bedafka in the mitzvah of Shabbos, and maybe if you allow me to talk about Parshas Vayakel also, why the Torah specifically talk about Lusavar Eish is the one malacha which the Torah talks about in the context of Shabbos is Lusavar Eish. So I know the sugas Gemara Misada Hilchasa. There's the Chalak Yotzes, the Lav Yotzes, but Al Pi Machshava. What's in the Kura Dafka of Lusavar Eish? Okay, so the Rizal brings that this in the Tikkun Zohar says that even though Klaiso lost the Ksorim after the Chet HaEgel, the Ksorim which Klaiso received in recognition of saying Nasav and Ishma. But on Shabbos, we get them back. Moshe Rabbeinu was machzer back to Klal Yisrael on Shabbos, the ksorim for Nasa ben Ishmael. The Medrash says that the Rosh Hashanah says to Klal Yisrael after the Chet HaEgel, says that you said Nasa ben Ishmael. You kilkaltem Nasa, he's Or ben Ishmael. You takur mekalkal the Nasa. So at least make sure you hold on to the Nishma. So it means it's takanat. It doesn't seem to be that we're able to get it back. We need to work on the nishma. But on Shabbos, the Zohar is saying we're able to touch back into the world of Nasa as well. That the Nasa which we've damaged through the Chet HaEgel, on Shabbos we were able to go back to that Madrega of which Moshe Rabbeinu never went down. Moshe Rabbeinu was stayed on that Madrega. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to be machzer back to Klal Yisrael. He's able to back to, not only does he have it himself, he's able to give it back to Klal Yisrael, the koyach of Nasa. The way the Sfas is pointing out, that seems to be hidden in the koyach of the Masa. Moshe Rabbeinu has this tremendous koyach, which Klal Yisrael is not able to handle anymore. They have a year and now they cannot handle it. But Moshe Rabbeinu, by putting upon a masveh, is able to maintain it. But when he teaches them Torah, he takes off the masveh. Now that's the chara, the world of Nishma, not the world of Nasa. So when he's teaching Torah, which is the world of Nishma, we're still shaykh back to that Madrega, and we're able through that process, together with in conjunction with Shabbos, to be able to understand that you can't get it all the time, but there's going to be a moment you're going to be able to get it, and that moment is Shabbos. In Shabbos you find this element of Genuza as well, that Bereshit also in the Gemara based in Parshas Kisisa, Gemara says that Leich Vaidiyam, that I have Matana, that Bershom says Matana Gruz against you, Beis Kanoza, Yimsha B'Shmoi, I have this tremendous matana for Klal Yisrael, which is basically Ganaza, it's hidden in my treasury, and I want you to go tell Klal Yisrael about it. And what is that matana? Shabbos, Shmoah, that Shabbos. So it seems to be an element of Shabbos. There seems to be an element of something which is Ganus in Shabbos. So Samus, when he talks about the parsha of the Masva, says something which, if I wouldn't have seen, I wouldn't believe it's something that one of the Chassidisha would say. It sounds more like one of the Litvisha would say. He says that we know that even though that obviously whatever happened is Bechira of Klal Yisrael, but that Bechira should go connected to the Bershom's real plan for the world, that's not true. How you stem the two Ayin Rambam? Says, so what's the pshat? He says, you're not going to be matzliach if you try to go the Malach v'derech ha-teva. The hatzlacha is when you go derech ha-teva. The hatzlacha is when you find a way that this should fit within the natural flow, then you're going to be matzliach. So the curly curlis, which happened beforehand, Klaisel reached a madrega which they were not able to hold on to because its taka was above them. It was not where they were. And they held it for a period of time. But eventually they fell from that. And now the Mahalach is, understand that within the natural flow of events, you're going to be able to do that. He says, and that's Binyan HaMishkan, he says, is Binyan HaMishkan, which is taking the Bria itself and Mivatak and the Bria, as opposed to, as it were, rising above and overpowering the Bria, but it's working within the Bria and finding a way to make the Bria function. So the Chassidish is saying that you have to work within Teva. I thought that was like, wow, okay. Like, but then he says, so what do you need the first one for? He says, I'll say it in a different form, right? Conversations which you've had over the years with Bachram, different conversations, like what's the right mahalach of Avodah? The people can, say, like the expectation in yeshiva sometimes, it's, why don't we find a mahalach which makes us fits for what's going to be the rest of our life? Train us for the rest of our life. So, there is an element of chinuch and yeshiva, the training for the rest of your life. There's also an element of yeshiva to give you that fire that you once went up into the mountain. So you know what the mountain looks like. The rest of your life, you're not going to be in the mountain. But once you saw the mountain, and you saw what it looks like, and you saw what it's supposed to be, the rest of your life, you'll keep walking towards that mountain. I think the Russia made the teenagers like that for a reason. Right? The world is not gray. The world is very gray. The world of teenagers, the world is very it's black and white. You get these guys all turned on, etc., etc., etc. Then eventually they cool down. So we may start to make fun of it, it's not real. So why the Russian make it that people react like that? The Russian didn't know how to get us to act. Right. Rabbi Krongos has, when he says a shmuz, they have lightning, in the background. I have. Everybody has a different style, yeah. What's the pshat? It's dumb. It's a fella. The Russia made that there's a dekufa in life, where you need to be on fire. There's a dekufa in life where you push it, you need to. Taka go beyond. And you're not going to be able to keep this up. But through the curly curlers and through the excitement, through that fire, through that brand, when you do come down, and you're going to come down, you're not going to hold on to this. It's not Derech HaTeva. But you've injected into the Derech HaTeva that there's a mahalach which you're able to hold on to. Then there's a nekuda you have to understand that if you try Adarabba, if you do the other way around, it doesn't work anymore. You have to know when you move from A to B, that's a different question. The Nakuda Tznius means that it fits in, it's natural. The Vodas Hashem has to be something which is natural to the person. It's not, I have to impose it upon myself and I feel just to push it, the Hislavus, etc. It's a natural flow. I've had this conversation with the Bachram different times, the FFB versus the Baal Tshuva, who's better, etc. It said the Milo Don Shuva, he's on fire. the Milo FFB that he absorbed this with his mother's milk. It's natural. You need both. You need that moment when you're on fire. You need that moment of inspiration when Pashat, you know, the guy, you know, say he pushes the night oil, and he's learning shtark, etc. You're not going to keep this up. Yeah, the yechidim, you know, miyala b'har Hashem and miyakum and kaimu katshay, right? But at least a yala b'har Hashem, that's kufa, whatever last kufa. Like the Pashat Mamish, the guy, he's learning day and night. He's linging, he's davening, his Ben Adam HaVeroi, his Musar. Yeah, you know what? You know when you're 30 years old, you're not going to be looking like that. But so what? So Mela, I should be, you know, like if, like this ready now, because I don't want to be a hypocrite. You know, I love that thing. You know, don't be a hypocrite. You know. You need that. But what do you do when you come down? So you have to know that there's a Moshe Rabbeinu. You have to know that there is the people who hold on to it. You have to know that they're willing to teach you and they're willing to give over to you. And they have to know, and when you're in that interface, you see that fire still. You see that ore. And yes, there's moments which you put a mask over it. Yes, there's moments where it's sanua. But that doesn't mean that it's not there. That doesn't mean that that's not the engine which is pushing things. It's the engine which is pushing something. It's the power. It's what's driving it. One of my rebbeim once I said, he says, you need that person who's kol kulay, his gansa leb and the kol kulay, that he should be energizing everybody else. Now everybody else doesn't look like him, but they're gonna be energized by him. You need in your own life the moments of that. But what's the parsha of Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu is able to makokil. He's able to bring Klai Yisrael together and teach them Shabbos. What's in the Kudor of Shabbos? I've said this story before. I mentioned it before. The Rishiva Zichli Bracha would say over the same stories again and again and again, and he would say it over with the exact same words, the same inflection of the voice, the same excitement, as if it was the first time he was saying it. And I, as a Bacher, used to like get on my nerves after a while. Like, you know, I heard that story already. I know the story already. Can we hear any new stories? There's always much more kishmat here in the story. Yeah, and I got older. I realized the mile of hearing the stories is like I can tell you the stories about Pat in my sleep. They're part of my being because I heard them not once and not twice, but some of the stories I heard 30, 40, 50 times. I knew the Rishiva wasn't well. I remember one of the first times I realized that the Rishiva wasn't well was towards the later tzkup in his life. He said over one of the stories and he changed a detail. And I was like, I was in the middle of Shemuz, I was in the Shemuz, saying the Shemuz, I started crying. Because I was nisragish, I realized that the Rishiva was not well. That's when it hit me. That these stories, which were mamish, like the mahus of he would say them over with such a brand and such an excitement, and he changed the detail. I was oismensch. I was almost oismensch. I'm saying over the story, I don't know, 25 years later, I'm still oismensch. More than 25 years later, yeah, 25 years later, probably. So recently, I was talking to a Talmud. He says, Rabbi, I don't remember the shmuz, I remember the stories. He says, the messages that I got from the story, that I can tell you over there, tell me what some of the stories that I'd said. He says, how do you remember the story? He says, Rabbi, you didn't say them once. I said, Rabbi, you said the story about the Rishiva, you should say it over all the time. He says, you said that too, right? What a Shabbos. And why Lo Sevar Eish? So Eish is the same problem. Eish is an extraordinary thing. Right? Eish is you take something physical and you turn it into energy. It's an extraordinary shlita of man over the Bria. If you look at all of the malachas potentially which we do, that's probably the most extraordinary, the one which is most obviously extraordinary. The shlita of man over the Bria, that we can take something which is just a dover gashmi and turn it into a ruchni. into or, into aish, into energy. But it's also not sneeze. It's a powerful shlita that we have over the Bria. The feeling that the way we create ruchnius is by turning Gashmi into ruchni. The ruchnius is that you sit and learn 75 hours in one 24 hour period, and that's the only way it's ruchnius. That's Lusavar Eish Mechom Moshe Sefer. That's the way you want to have a shlita over the Bria. No, it doesn't work like that. Yes, you can take the world and make the world from Gashmis into ruchnius. You know what? The world itself is ruchnius. You just have to know. You have to know how to eat it. I had a chaver in yeshiva, came from Australia. How many guys know the story? Wrong generation, right? Yeah. Okay. Good. Thank you. All right. You want to say it? Came to yeshiva. His parents were survivors. They both, if I call correctly, they both lost. The father for sure lost his first mishpacha in the war. Parents met after the war, got married, had a single child, an only son. They ended up in Sydney, Australia. There's no Gersh yeshivas in Sydney, Australia. There's no small yeshivas in Sydney. There's no yeshivas in Sydney, Australia. They sent their son away to Tel Aviv. They were not wealthy, many stretches of the imagination. Going back and forth was quite expensive. They cannot afford to bring him home. He did not see his mother for 4 years. And to picture a woman who's a Holocaust survivor, who lost her mishpacha, and she has an only child. She sends her son away for 4 years. It's a mind-boggling reality to understand what it means, her desire that her son should be a Talmid Chacham. And Baruch Hashem, Yitzhak became a Talmid Chacham. He spoke home in those days, the cost of a telephone call to Australia was somewhere between $5 to $9 a minute. He spoke home on the phone twice a year. He spoke home before Rosh Hashanah and he spoke home before Pesach. Otherwise, he wrote letters. Every week, he wrote a letter to his parents and he would send it out. And then, meanwhile, sometime during the week, he'd get a letter back from his last letter. And that's how they kept in touch. After 4 years, he's going home. Going home. His father actually came to America one time in the middle of that tkufa. For business purposes, and he spent the Shabbos in yeshiva with us. He spoke by Shal Shudas, the father. It was Parshas Tetzaveh, if I recall correctly. Instead of a word from Chassam Sofer. Arbalam the Shayid, instead of a word from Chassam Sofer. The mother hadn't seen her son for 4 years. Now, she's a Jewish mother. He's going home. So what does a Jewish mother, when her son's coming home, what does she do? She makes a supper, which Surah Shlomo B'Shaita has no comparison to that surah. Right? Anything that her son ever liked and ever expressed that he happens to enjoy, she made. She's like, you know, it's like a 19-course dinner, like with 15 desserts, you know. Right? That's what a Jewish mother does, right? So he walks into the house and he hasn't had his mother's cooking for 4 years. He sits down to the meal. And she puts in front of him his favorite steak. And he eats the steak, and it's so geschmack, it's his favorite steak. What is he tasting in that steak? Geschmack of steak. No. He's tasting 4 years of his mother's love. That's what he's tasting in that steak. 4 years of his mother's longing. 4 years of his mother's mysterious nefesh, he should become a Talmid Chacham. 4 years of his mother's care and concern are all expressed in that steak. That's how you eat that steak. And if you don't, you missed it totally. Shabbos is Hayom Lashem. Shabbos is the day which the Baruch Shalom belongs to Him. And Chazal say when we eat on Shabbos, we're eating the Baruch Shalom's table. And he's saying, Baruch Shalom, I gave you a Gantz Bria. I want you to taste it. I want you to taste it that you're sitting on my table. And I gave you the right to taste it because I love you and I care about you. That's what it means. The gashmius is ruchnius. You don't have to take something and turn it into a fire to hear the ruchnius. In the teva, the whole mitzvahs of the teva is the Bershom's love and ava for Yichlayus. The whole mitzvahs of the teva is ruchnius if you eat it right. Moshe Rabbeinu, with that tremendous understanding of the hakara of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the or upon of, that his or with an ayin, is or with an aleph, that the most physical thing, a hide, is that skin, not even the flesh and the bones, but the skin of the person, is batsim or. He could look at the bri and say, Rabbi, this is how you eat shavos. Lois of our age, you don't need to make gersa maisers, just eat it right. Shabbos is this chem de genuza beganozai, matana toiva bebes ganozai. The flavor of Shabbos is not obvious. The Mor says, "What's the hidden thing?" The neshama yaseira. The Mor says in Masechtas Bei, the neshama yaseira is the hidden thing. You can eat. Rashi said you can eat on Shabbos. Right, so the extraordinary element of Shabbos, the matana taiva, which is hidden, is the neshama yaseira. That's what's hidden on Shabbos. Like, what talk about? How much can you eat? When you're eating and you feel your mother's love, you can eat a lot. Because it's not the food that you're eating. If the whole week you're busy out there trying to be Charlotte over the bria and control the bria and direct the bria, and you realize, I guess, because that's teva. I got a parnosa, it's natural. And one day you stop and say, Roberta, I got it all wrong. I got it all wrong. I'm not fighting with the bria. I'm not being Charlotte over the bria. The bria is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm supposed to interface with the bria and push it, feel the Bresham with me every single moment. It's an Olam of Yedidus. Shlomo calls it, it's called Yedidya. He's Yedid Hashem. That's Mikdash. Mikdash is in Chalkos Shabbanyam and Yedir Hashem, Yishkan Levetel. It's Pashal Yedir is Yad Liyad. It's just, we're hand in hand together. I'm not fighting with him. I'm not being Charlotte over them. I'm not conquering. It's just natural. It's with your mother's milk. That's what it means to be a Yid. But you know what? We miss that message because we go through the Bria and it's so not clear. So Rosh Hashanah says, there's a nishma. There's a nishma that when you learn Torah, Torah is going to give you that message. Torah is going to give you that clarity. Torah is the or which will enlighten you. That you should understand what it means to be a Yid. You understand what it means to be in the Rosh Hashanah's Bria, that he cares about you, he loves you. And every single mitzvah is a hechatimsa to direct you and hold on to your hand and help you deal with the world in the proper way, that you should get from the world the benefit that you need to get from it. But it's not a fight. That's what the Nasa was supposed to be. The Nasa wasn't supposed to be that we're fighting with the world. The Nasa was supposed to be that it was so natural, the Nasa, that we even just doing it, we understood. Without even learning it. We got it through the Nasiya. But that's very hard, Madrega, to get it just through the Nasiya. It means that we're so in tune. We're so attuned. We hear that message that I can feel through my hands. I can feel as I'm doing it. It's so natural. My goof is so Kaddish, it's so natural that I get it just through the Asiyah alone. The Nasa Mele is the Nishma. We can't do that anymore. We need a Nishma. We need to explain to us. We need to understand it. We need to learn it. But on Shabbos, we get the Nasa back. On Shabbos, we learn that there's no fight between us and the Bria and the Siyah that we do. The Rosh Hashanah gave us a vehicle, he gave us a Hechatimsa to interface with the Bria in such a natural way. We look at quote unquote Teva, and Torah is like something different. The Rosh Hashanah made the Bria, I'll pee the Torah. The reason why we have hands is we should be able to do mitzvahs. The Russian made X amount of mitzvahs with the hands, so he made the hands a certain way. They should be able to do all those mitzvahs that the hands require. The Russian didn't say, you know, let's make hands. It's, oh, now that we have hands, let's figure out what to do with mitzvahs. It's backwards. The Rosh gave us an ear because he gave an ear because there's mitzvahs with an ear. And the ear is a certain way because that's the best way to be able to do those mitzvahs. We fit perfectly. It's the perfect two pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. They fit together perfectly. But we lose sight of it. So there's that Moshe Rabbeinu. There's that clarity. And you know what? Sometimes you have to understand we can't, if we get too involved in it, we get lost. It's beyond us to try and stay on that forever. So there's a masveh. Because if you picture it as the only way to do it is by stepping off at a bria, the only way you can feel holy is if you have a kumzitz at 3 o'clock in the morning, Shabbos morning, singing holy songs. You don't understand what ruchnius is. If putting on tefillin in the morning doesn't give you the same oomph as your kumzitz Friday nights, I get it. But that's when you're 18 or when you're 19. But when you're 35, you still have the same reaction. You have a problem. But the only way you can get your oomph and ruchnius and feel that connection is when you do those extraordinary things, but you haven't graduated, that it's natural that you feel connected when you dive on a shachris. You feel connected when you learn a blot of Gemara. You feel connected when you're makbid on a halacha. And you're medactic in the halacha. You don't feel the Bershom connecting to you. You're not getting it. You're still trying to make it being mevar and esh. So yes, you need the moment of bira esh, because that's what's going to inspire you and make you realize there's such a thing and let you taste it. But you need to grow beyond the point where you absorb it and it becomes natural. So we need both. I don't like making fun of the Ruach Minyan. Right? I just tell people, listen, I'm very happy that you connect with it, etc. But if you don't know what the words mean, you're not really connecting. What are you connecting to? The goal is to give you a vehicle to connect to the message that Kabbalah Shabbos has to tell you. It says, okay, and now that you've connected, what does your Shema sound like? You're so connected, so your Shema should be pushed, like, should take you to the highest Madrega. But if after your Ruach Minyan, the Shema is the same Shema you have every other day, it didn't work. It didn't do for you what it's supposed to do. The goal is not the Mi'alah Bahar Hashem and the excitement and then just that's it. And then the next time you have it, the next time you go up to the Har Hashem. It's those extraordinary moments. The goal is that this should become part of your being. So that the week that you don't have it, and you say Kabbalah Shabbos, and you say L'chun L'ran Al Hashem, the real, right? You push it, you're excited. L'chun L'ran Al Hashem, let's go sing the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I don't have to see, I can say the words and that's a song. We need both. You need those moments of inspiration. You need that. You need the curly curlis. The curly curlis is not what's going to last. The tzniyus, that it becomes natural, becomes part of who you are, that's what's going to last. And there are such beautiful ways of doing it. The clarity you're supposed to get when you see that you see those moments, and that gives you the clarity what it looks like. So then you sit down by a Shabbos Suda. And the Gersa Mises, that the extraordinary element that there's something called Oynik Shabbos. No Ummah has this. That how do you serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Shmak a piece of kugel. It doesn't sound very holy to me. You sit there and you say holy songs, right? I get it, right? Psalms, prayers, you fast, it's also to fast on Shabbos. It's an extraordinary thing. And it's end off. Mrs. Tuttle told me a story one time. She says they had a family, Frum family, so as they were coming Frum through them, etc. So, you know, they would come over regularly, etc. Years later, the woman says, you know, I don't want to tell you an interesting thing. We were by here for Shabbos for the first time, and we were like, you know, this whole thing is like from Mars. In the middle of the meal, you started singing. Now, we've never had in our life that we sat by a meal and we started singing in the middle of the meal. I felt like it was the middle of a musical. Like you have, you know, in the movie, like all of a sudden they just like dancing and singing in the middle of the meal. Nobody does that in real life. And you were like just doing this in real life. You're just like singing. It's like, what are you doing? It's the strangest thing. So that's when like it hit us, like there's like this real, like what is going on over here? It's a very fascinating horror. Like you're singing. I've never been by a Thanksgiving meal. They never sang by a Thanksgiving meal. July 4th barbecue is also not. Right? You, at best, you say grace, you know. We don't sing. Okay, good. So the other end of the spectrum, I'm sitting in front of night, you know, and I have this person who's not from, he's becoming from, etc. I give him the article English, you know, he's following along, you know, as I'm singing, and we're singing Mayadidus. And we're singing about Barbrooming Slava Dagim. And he's reading, like, you know, this song, you know, you're singing this beautiful song, you know, with the beautiful niggun, etc., about that there's geese, and there's ducks, and there's fish, and there's all these cakes, and wine, and it sounds more like a beer song, you know, in the beer hall than it sounds like Holy Shabbos then. You ever think about it? It's like, Barbara Miss Logadob, and you're like, my, and it's like, wow, and it's sleeping. You know, it's like really geschmack, you know, it's like. So I realized somewhere along the way that he's looking at this thing and he's looking at me, like, what am I doing? So I realized I need to explain to him. I said, the Kiddush of Yiddishkeit is that food is a Kaddish Baruch Hu talking to us. Yiddishkeit is that, you know, I happen to be, I like food, Baruch Hashem. I also like sleeping. If you try my schedule, you understand why, right? There's a bracha of Hanoah, Birchas and Hanan on sleep, you know, Birchas and Mapa, you know. And that's not a Kaddish Baruch Hu talking to you? Extraordinary, right? You lie down exhausted, your body is worn out. Your body is able to relax and fall asleep, and you wake up a few hours later, and you're a different person. Extraordinary. You don't hear Kaddish Baruch Hu in that. You don't see his love and his care and his concern. You don't feel. And the Breshim gave us the mitzvahs of how to deal with that. When you're supposed to sleep, how you're supposed to sleep, what bracha you're supposed to say on sleep, what you're supposed to do when you get up. The Breshim gave us the vehicle how to appreciate everything which he's given us. And that's what we're learning. That means learning Torah. Torah means we're going to translate that into how to interface with the world in a way which we see a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And your years in yeshiva and your tuf in yeshiva, where you're inspired and you're on fire and you want to learn and you're into the learning, it has to remain with you that you have that clarity and you have to understand that that becomes a natural reality of how you interface with the world as you move on. By Yakel Moshe. From the Masveh, from those moments of clarity of the teaching Torah, Bayakel, we have a Shabbos, Lo Sevaro Eish, just plain and simple, and that's good enough.